Well, this morning I want to share with you something that's been on my heart for quite some time now. This is something of a personal message, I guess, because it's something that I have seen happening in the world, and it is something that is, to me, incredibly heartbreaking and incredibly frustrating. I mean, you have probably yourself heard the stories. I mean, for years we've heard of abuse in the Catholic Church, but the Protestant Church is equally as in danger. Many of you will probably have heard of the Hillsong Church in New York City. This is the place where Chris Pratt and Justin Bieber have been going to church. Their pastor has been dismissed from ministry because of the various affairs that he carried on with members of his church. That was in December. Just in the last couple of weeks, we learned that one of this generation's most significant apologists for the Christian faith, somebody who had a big impact on me growing up, he has died, but since then we've discovered credible evidence of sexual assault that he had perpetrated against people. Out of nowhere, the pastor from Kenya texted me yesterday saying, what are you preaching on tomorrow? And I said, oh, well, here, this is what I'm talking about. And he said, that happens in Kenya all of the time. There are these false shepherds who go around. It's like just 10 days ago, I read a tweet from a pastor, author and pastor in North Carolina that said, 10 years ago, I sat in a room with a few pastors, one of whom was in the midst of a meteoric rise to fame. I noticed him frequently making sexist, inappropriate jokes. While the other pastors laughed, they brushed it off as harmless and continued to commend him to me and others. Years later, though, this pastor had destroyed his church. And this is a 10,000-person church. He was fired. Many of his church members lost their faith or had to spend years in counseling. This is sadly all too common. And I think that the worst part of it is the last part of that tweet. You know, many of his church members lost their faith. Scrolling through responses to messages like these, I see that all too common. I walked away from church because of stuff like that. That's heartbreaking to me. So what I want to do this morning is to think about what happens when pastors fail. And like I said in the email on Friday, there is no scandalous revelation waiting to be made at the end of this message. My conscience is clear. But I want to take this up with you. My intention is that this is a message you will never need to use. But I think it's important for us to think about. And my goal is not to throw pastors under the bus, but to acknowledge that, one, this kind of thing does happen, and two, even if it does, Jesus will not fail you. So let's just think for a minute about the relationship between Jesus, the head pastor, and the pastors that you see on a Sunday morning. Turn with me, if you've got your Bible there, to 1 Peter 5. So 1 Peter 5 is towards the back of your Bible. 1 Peter 5, verse 1, Peter writes, "To the elders who are among you," so to the pastors, "I appeal to you as a fellow elder and pastor, someone who has seen Christ's suffering, one who will also share in the glory to be revealed." Peter says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care." That is, be not CEOs, not rulers, not kings, be shepherds. Be people who will lead and feed and care for and keep from danger those who are under your flock. Pastors are shepherds. We are stewards. And frankly, even though I am called to be a shepherd, I am just as much a sheep as you are in God's larger flock. Pastors are sheep, but we are also shepherds of the sheep. We are to be overseers, not because we must, but because we are willing, as God wants us to be. Not because we are greedy for money, but eager to serve. Pastors are to shepherd the flock, not lording it over those who have been entrusted to you, but by being examples to the flock. The worst thing that you can have is a pastor who is only in it for money or power or prestige, because that is just a pit waiting to be fallen into. Instead, you want a pastor who is eager to serve you and to share his life with you. And not just serve you, like do the things that you want him to, but hold you accountable, to build you up, to keep you from danger. And that is certainly my goal as a pastor. So a pastor is a shepherd, but verse 4, we get a really important note. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. That's important, right? That is my goal. I am working in light of this crown of glory. Fame and fortune in this world are nothing compared to the eternal weight of glory, this crown that we receive when we have walked in faith. That's what's motivating me. But listen, there's something about that sentence that implies a hierarchy, right? Hey, shepherds, when the chief shepherd appears. So pastors are shepherds, but we are really under shepherds, right? There is a supreme shepherd. He is the good shepherd. His name is Jesus. And even when the under shepherds fail, the good shepherd does not. The good shepherd remains in charge, and he cares for us even greater than any under shepherd ever could. And that's why it breaks my heart when I hear people say, I lost my faith because of my shepherd's failing. Because of my pastor's failing, right? I mean, that breaks my heart first because it's the pastor who called it, who caused it. The pastor should be the last person to cause you to walk away from your faith. But even more than that, it breaks my heart because if you walk away from faith because of an under shepherd, then you are walking away from the chief shepherd who still cares. And yes, the under-shepherd may have failed you, but this is really a baby in the bathwater situation here. If a pastor steps in it, do not let that stop you from still trusting in the shepherd who is supreme and sovereign to him. Jesus is worth clinging to, and he remains faithful to you, even if his servants have not. If you've been hurt by a pastor in the past, I'm sorry. I really am. Our job is to take care of you, to lead and feed and guard and guide. Our job is to steward you on behalf of the chief shepherd. And if we cause you harm, that is no good at all. Please, though, do not let the failings of an under-shepherd keep you from the good shepherd. Because, you know, sometimes pastors fail. Kerry Newhoff is a church up in Aurelia. He writes, "Our lives are a complex mix of sin and grace, of brokenness and redemption." He says that of all of us. And then he says, "This is true of pastors, too. We don't have a direct line to God any more than you do. Our marriages aren't easier just because we are in ministry. Our souls aren't inherently more virtuous. Pastors aren't better people. We are just called people. Called to the same calling to which non-pastors are called to too, but in a specialized role. Clearly, there are activities, he says, and conditions that would and should take us out of ministry for a season or longer, but we have to get over this idea that leaders need to be perfect. Christ alone is perfect. We get to partner with him. You know, pastors do fail. Sometimes it's a real mess. So let's talk about those seasons and activities and conditions that could take us out of ministry that Carey talks about. Well, what happens when pastors engage in activities that should disqualify them from ministry? Well, the very first thing is Matthew 18, right? Matthew 18:15, if your brother sins against you, go show him his fault, just between you and him. If he fails to listen, take witnesses. If he doesn't listen then, go to the whole church, to the board, to the elders. You know, this concept is here in Matthew 15 so that people aren't just randomly accusing pastors because they don't like them. You need to go through a process. But if the accusations are true, then you got to take that pastor out of ministry. Remove him from the context where he could do more harm. Keep him from teaching hypocrisy through what he does, what he preaches from the pulpit and then does the rest of the day. You know, pastoral ministry is not like some other job where, you know, any old schlub with the right education can do the job. You need somebody with the right heart. And if that's not there, then you've got a problem. I mean, a lot of the times, this sort of disqualify you from ministry activity is sexual in nature, sexual misconduct. But of course, you can make an argument for removing a pastor who violates the qualifications that you see in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 3. These are the basic qualifications for pastoral ministry that Paul lays out for us. An overseer must be above reproach, husband of one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well. See that his children obey him with proper respect, not be a recent convert, must have a good reputation with outsiders. Those are the basic levels. That's the basic line you got to clear to be a pastor. And if a pastor steps outside of them, well, then you've got a problem. You know, these are obviously things that you would want to look at on a case-by-case basis, but the bottom line is this. If a shepherd stops acting like a shepherd, then he needs to be removed. The question that comes next then is can he be restored? Right? Can you reinstate a shepherd after he's been fallen? I mean, here you need to tread carefully. A lot of it depends, I think, on the behavior of the pastor. If they confess their sin, if they repent of it, if they make an effort to make reparations for what they have done and then commit to a long-term plan for rehabilitating and rebuilding through counsel and spiritual direction, sure, in a long-term basis, I could see returning to ministry. On the other hand, if they fail to admit that what they have done is not consistent with who God is, then, hey, do not let that fox back into the henhouse. You know, some people would argue that you can never rehabilitate a fallen pastor, but I think that Peter's experience at the end of John's gospel means that it is possible. Right? John 21, Peter has denied Jesus 3 times. Right, Jesus is in his most dire hour of need. Peter's like, I don't know who that guy is. And yet the resurrected Jesus comes back to him. He does not say, oh, well, I intended to build my church on you, the rock, Peter, but clearly you can't handle it, so you're done. No, he comes back and he says, Simon Peter, do you love me more than these fish, these fishing nets, these people around? Am I the center of your life? Three times he says, yes. And three times Jesus says, okay, then take care of my sheep. That suggests to me that it is possible to rehabilitate and reinstate a pastor. But notice, it's not the pastor that's reinstating themselves, right? Peter didn't say, well, okay, I'm good again. Jesus came back to him and said, no, I am the one who will say you're ready to go back. This is Jesus' job. This is the work of the church. Jesus, through the church, to say, okay, we have seen, Pastor, repentance and restoration and a desire to do right. You have the right effort or the right attitude. We think that you can now come back to being a pastor. So what do you do when pastors fail? Well, remove them from office. If they are willing and repentant, help them back onto the right track, all the while clinging to the chief shepherd. And that, I think, is what I really want to emphasize. You know, pastors are human beings. Even if it's not something that is catastrophic, we all stumble, we make mistakes. But the head shepherd never does. Please don't ever let a pastor keep you from the head shepherd. He is gracious and compassionate and abounding in steadfast love. Jesus knows what it's like to be misdirected and mistreated, and he is eternally faithful to you. Pastors, yes, are important. We are important as shepherds, but above all, hold on for dear life to the chief shepherd. Let's pray. God, this is a hard thing to think about, for me certainly, and it breaks my heart. Lord, when fellow shepherds fall short of your high call on our lives. Lord, I pray that you would have mercy on pastors who have fallen, but even more, I pray that you would have mercies on their congregations. Lord, I pray for anyone who has been hurt by a pastor, not because their feelings were hurt, but because they have been unjustly treated in some way. Lord, I pray that you would renew in them trust, restore in them trust in the church, in pastors in general, above all in you. I can't help but think of Ezekiel 34 that we talked about just before Christmas. Ezekiel said, look, time and again, pastors are going to fail you, leaders are going to fail you. But in Ezekiel 34, God, you said, I am going to come and be the pastor. I am going to come and be the shepherd who binds up the broken and heals those who are wounded and pushes aside the proud and feeds and lifts and builds up those who are in need. Jesus, you are our good shepherd. I pray that you would help me to be a decent shepherd. I pray that you would help all of us to cling to you, to trust and rely upon you, the always good, always perfect shepherd. Let us fix our eyes upon you, the author and perfecter and leader of our faith. We pray in Jesus' name.